Eleanor Smeal is a name that is synonymous with women's rights, the women's movement. And I read a piece that you wrote on Huffington Post yesterday about the last minute STUPAC amendment that was inserted into the health care reform bill in the House on Saturday. And you started off with how quickly joy can turn to outrage. This was really a huge step backward for women's reproductive rights, was it not?
Absolutely. It denies coverage not only in the public option and the private insurance plans in the exchange, even if a woman uses her own money. So now they're on the excuse that they're going to deny federal funds, they're wiping it out, the coverage entirely.
And all indications are that this STUPAC amendment will not be in the final legislation, but that shouldn't lessen our outrage over it, should it?
Absolutely not. And one of the things that just is shocking is the blatant use of power by the National Conference of Catholic Bishops. They essentially dictated this. And then also the C Street Boys, the people who are evangelicals, some of them, who live at C Street, some are Catholics, but the important thing is this secret, they call it a religion, but as we now know, it's a place where several senators live. Both STUPAC and Pitts, who are the two of the major co-sponsors of this amendment, are from C Street.
We grew up learning that this country was founded, one of the principles was separation of church and state.
Right.
Why all of a sudden in the 2000s is the religious right having so much influence over our political system?
I think that's one of the things that's so shocking, that they think it's okay, and so much so that they blatantly talk about it, that they're going to reform really the country in the eyes of their ideology and their religion against all others. I really think that every American should be outraged not only to what this is doing to women, but the separation of church and state. Where are we going with this? And I think it just has to stop, and it has to stop now.
Well, I fully agree with you. One of the reasons I wanted to speak with you today, Eleanor Smeal with us here on Air America Radio. Another thing that really disturbed me is it's one thing for members of Congress to have their own religious beliefs. Everyone's entitled to their own belief system.
Right.
But when somebody is elected to represent their district, and I'll use as an example a congresswoman for whom I've had the greatest respect, except she voted for this amendment, Marcy Kaptur of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand she's a devout Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. That's fine for her own personal being. But to inflict her religious beliefs on her constituents, what does that say to everyone else who is not a devout Catholic?
Absolutely. And I keep saying, where's John Kennedy? His principles, when he stood for election, he said that he wouldn't be dictated by his church. He would represent all Americans. And that's what we've got to go back to. We've got to go back to understanding we're a pluralistic society. And you might have some moral conscience that tells you shouldn't do this, but others have a moral conscience that says that this is the right thing for a woman to be able to make their own choices according to their own circumstances. And no person should dictate on the basis of their ideology. And least of all, you know, let's look at this Congress. It's not a representative body. This is principally old men telling young girls what they can do. And we know from scandal after scandal, they're not living what they're preaching anyway.
No, you look at the inhabitants of that C Street house.
Oh,
how dare they?
I mean, how dare them keep talking about pro-family values when they have been having not only scandal in their midst, but it's total hypocrisy that they know what's going on, rendezvous with mistress. Not that I'm really the prude type. I don't want to say that we should have one standard of behavior again, but for them to purport to be one type of person, use that self-righteously, and somehow say they stand on a different moral ground, it just even makes it more outrageous. But I think all Americans, again, I'll go back to this, it doesn't matter you know, in some ways, what your belief is on this issue, you got to be alarmed that we have these right-wing religious interests beginning to openly dictate. To me, it's not only shocking, it could lead to tearing this country apart. It has to stop.
Well, this is a huge, as I said at the start, a huge step backwards for women's rights. Now, Eleanor Smeal, you are the president of the Feminist Majority Foundation and the political advocacy organization, the Feminist Majority, also the publisher of Ms. Magazine, and you've been in this battle, in this fight for women's rights for as long as I can remember. And it seems like maybe it's the battle for healthcare reform that's brought women's status in society to the forefront. But what we've learned through this fight for reform is that just being a woman is really a pre-existing condition. If you've ever had a C-section, if you've been the victim of domestic violence, just being a woman, your rates are higher. All those things work against us. Do we need to revisit the Equal Rights Amendment?
Oh, my, yes, we do. I mean, I've been, as you know, a major advocate of the women's rights for the Equal Rights Amendment, and it shows over and over again how marginal women's rights are. I mean, that it's like they can pick on us. Imagine on this particular health reform bill, this was the only amendment left allowed on the floor, except obviously for the Republican substitute that everybody knew was going to be voted down. And essentially what they did is they hijacked the amendment. They used it as a vehicle to deny women their rights, to get a cheap political shot, you know, because they think they can get away with it. And I think we have to say enough. You know, women tend to sacrifice their lives for others. You know, we always put the kids first. We put other people first. But this time, I think they went too far. And we have got to say, this is going to be stripped from this amendment, and you're not going to continue using us and our lives as a political football.
Well, much to his credit, President Obama basically said that yesterday in an interview with Jake Tapper for ABC News. And again, as I said also from the outset, I'm 99% as confident as I can be that this will not be in the final health care bill, that it'll basically reaffirm the Hyde Amendment, which says no federal funds shall be used to pay for abortion.
Well, remember the Hyde Amendment, because I was around when that thing was put on, too.
Uh-huh.
That was also dictated by the National Conference of Catholic Bishops to Jimmy Carter.
Wow.
And in reality, that cost him, you might not remember this, but he gave a speech saying life is not fair, because we said how outrageous it was to deny to poor women what middle class or rich woman could do.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave a famous press thing in which he said, life is not fair. And it's one of the reasons the National Organization for Women, when I was president, came out against him in the primary. This is taking me back. But reality, it was the bishops again. That was done more covertly. They felt they could, you know, that was a meeting. It was not as noticeable as this. This has been far more public. But why? Why should they, who be able to dictate for all women when their own parishioners don't follow either them on abortion or birth control? There's no difference really in the practice of choice based on religion. But women make the choice, and the majority have long since said that they want access to their full range of reproductive rights. But here this handful, and sometimes I think these so-called wedge issues are used to deflect something else. In other words, let's talk about abortion. Let's not talk about the Republicans voting 100% almost against it, only one voting for it, because they're really protecting the interests of the insurance companies. And let's not talk about pedophilia in the church and the bishop's responsibility for curbing the sexual abuse. Let's talk about how moral they are on an issue that does not affect them. You see what I mean?
I see exactly what you mean.
Sometimes we don't realize that these issues, wedge issues, are being used to change the subject.
You're right. And the bigger question also is, the bishops, how do they even have a role in what happens in Congress?
That's essentially, they're not supposed to.
No.
We're supposed to have not only separate, and separation in church and state is not a slogan. It prevents religious wars. We've been down there. We've seen what it's done to Europe. We see what it's doing to the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to go down that road? This is, there is no winners in this, and it gives power to people who don't stand for election. And then, frankly, in this particular interest, do not even have the following of their own people.
Right. Eleanor Smeal is with us. In addition to being the publisher of Ms. Magazine, which we all know about, you're the president of the Feminist Majority Foundation. Can you tell us a bit about this group?
Sure. The foundation, we are a general reproductive rights group. We work on projects. We're both global and domestic. We're far more domestic, but we have been very vocal and trying to help Afghan women and stop stonings and these horrible conditions, discrimination and outrageous acts against women worldwide, trafficking in women, et cetera. And domestically, we've been a leader, one of the leading groups in the area of reproductive rights. But we're also on the fight against, violence against women. We have one of the largest campus projects in the nation. We have groups on over 450 campuses in 44 states, and we're growing with a special real outreach to young women, because many of these fights, they're really about their lives.
Absolutely. Now, the website is feminist.org if people want
right.
to get involved. But again, I mentioned revisiting the ERA. You know, I love that we're making great strides for gender equality, for gay marriage, for all these things. But it seems like the women's movement has been sort of stagnant in recent years.
Well, we've been stopped in many ways by this abortion fight. Anything we do, they put an abortion amendment on it, and it that has to stop. And basically, let's see what happens with Title IX and Title VII. We have been constantly fighting to keep them on the book. One protects us from employment discrimination, the other from education. The Republicans come in, and they always cut them back. The Democrats come in, and we get them back again. But it's like this ping pong. That's what just happened with the Lilly Ledbetter Act.
Mm-hmm.
The Republicans, they gutted Title VII on wage discrimination. We just got it restored. But we got to make progress. And one of the reasons you need an ERA is so you can't lose Title VII and the guarantees against employment discrimination under one regime and then, get it back but never get it fully back. And I don't even think people realize the assaults on Title IX, which is to guarantee no sex discrimination in education. Just now, under Bush in 2006, they cut it back. They put out regulations that make it easier for single-sex classes, which essentially are not offered equally to both sexes. In other words, they are making it easier and easier to go around Title IX. The average American doesn't know about it, because they are overwhelmingly supportive of equal educational opportunity. We've had to save that amendment, that act, from being gutted ever since the Reagan administration. Remember, it only goes into effect in 1975. And we every time the administration changes, they take another whack at it, and then we push them back. If we had an equal guarantee in the Constitution, a lot of these things that prevent us from really going forward would stop.
Do we have any champions in Congress today trying to
Oh, absolutely. I think one of the greatest champions that will, if we ever pass it, will go down in history is Carolyn Maloney, the congresswoman from New York, who has made it her life's cause. And she, every year, she makes sure it's introduced in the House and gets more and more signatures for it. And there, we have hundreds of people that have signed up, and I mean, in the Congress, we almost get to that, the magic numbers. But you remember, you need two-thirds vote of both houses of Congress and a three-fourths vote of all the states. In other words, three-fourths of all the states. And they keep it controversial when, in fact, I still believe what is at the heart of the problem is that the corporate interests, especially the insurance companies, have not wanted it and have fought it. That's why we lose Republican support. They use the same issues the divisive issues, but down, what are the insurance companies worried about? They have been charging women more and giving us less.
Right.
On the basis of gender rating. Now we know it. This, why, by the way, the Act would take that away in health insurance, but they do that in other kinds of insurance. And then, of course, women are the cheap labor pool, and they underpay us. And if the laws stay weaker, it's easier to cheat us. And that's, I think, it's bound. The bottom line of all my years of fighting for civil rights and women's rights is that discrimination, some people profit from it. And they use all the sensational issues, but when it comes right down, who's lobbying against us? And I can tell you, because I was in state after state, it was the National Association of Manufacturers, the Chambers of Commerce. Those were the major, you know, guns against us. It was business interests and their lobbyists. Not all. Of course, nothing's a monolith. But I can tell you, those two groups were against us. And it was one of my favorite things was the... some groups that said, like the Farmers Bureau, which was against us in state after state, I couldn't figure out why would farmers be against us. It made no sense to me. I asked and asked and asked and found out that at that time, when we were going through in the late 70s, early 80s, they really were representing insurance companies. So so it appeared to be a farmer's question, a farm question. It wasn't at all. There were more members of the Bureau in Chicago, and what's the county it's in? I can't remember right now. And that whole area in the DuPage County, right outside of Chicago. Then there was in the southern part of the state where the farms were, because basically it was insurance policy holders. Anyway, it when you get right down to it, and I have had years of fighting for women's rights, as you know, it usually is the money that is behind the opposition.
Yes, well, and we're finding that on all walks these days. It you know, we need to get money out of politics, and we have, you know, big money behind the so-called teabag movement, Tea Party movement, and, you know, it's an AstroTurf thing because they've got the big money interests promoting these events and getting people all riled up.
Right. And they have them, and then they act like they're the little people,
right?
But of course they're not, and that's what happened with us. We were in every state of the union, outnumbered the so-called Phyllis Schlafly's by just our marches. We'd have 100,000. They have a few, and the press would balance it and act like it was an equal movement. But we're determined to pass it. And by the way, then a new fight that will be coming up, it's not new, but it's one that we're going to try to take it to ratify, is the Convention to Eliminate All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, which the United States has still not, it's a peace treaty of the United Nations. We're one of the few countries that has not ratified it. And it does have major significance for women of the world and of this country. I mean, it is the next step. It only takes a 2/3 vote of the Senate. But I like to see what senators are going to vote against discrimination. They'll use every excuse in the book. But when it comes down to it, we can't be fooled by these excuses. We have to understand that there are interests that must be exposed. And I think that's one of the things I think Air America does. I think that Rachel, who comes from you all, has been doing on
very much
on MSNBC, is exposing who's behind these issues that they're using really to deflect the money interest.
Most definitely. Eleanor Smeal, what a pleasure this was, an honor to speak with you today.
Well, thank you. And I'm so glad you're out there fighting and giving the message.
You and me both.